Time last night with everybody who came out to the Christmas dinner. Fun time of food and fellowship, and hopefully we didn't scare anybody too bad.
Thank you, Michael.
It was worth it.
I would have had her attack. Yeah.
That's why Linda was trying to bring everybody up there, you know, and I'm like, no, Linda, let me pick the volunteers because I got to be selective here. I don't want anybody with a weak ticker coming up here.
You picked the volunteers? That doesn't sound right.
You might pick them all. Could have got you for murder.
All right, so we are in Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. We left off last week. We were in verse number 11. Let's reread that verse. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And we talked about knowing the time. And I was saying that knowing the time was what I see as the day of our salvation, referenced in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, where Paul says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted." And in the day of salvation, when Paul was referencing back, but there's a day of salvation for us today, that now grace is offered freely to all men, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Knowing the time, everything is offered to us freely today in the dispensation of grace, right? And we said, I made the point, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we left off last week. We said, knowing the time, that we should redeem the time. And Paul points this out in Ephesians 5:16, where he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, hey, look, we've got a message. We've got a message of righteousness, a message of goodness, a message of light. Let's redeem the time that we have as ambassadors and get that message out there, because the days are evil, the world is filled with darkness, and hey, you've got the answer. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. And he says in verse 11 that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And the thing, the point that I made is that this was not an appeal to a lost man. Because a lost man cannot awake out of sleep of his own accord, right? A lost man is lost in sin and in darkness, and the only way for a lost man to awake out of sleep is to trust the gospel. And I don't think that that's what Paul is talking about here when you look at the context and when you see the things that we're going to talk about. Okay, so when he says that, "And now it is high time to wake out of sleep," that I think what he's talking about here is, well, first of all, we said high time means it's past the appropriate time, okay? It's look, whatever time, whatever point in time it was in your life that you believed, it was past the appropriate time, right? There was always more time that you could have spent serving the Lord, that you could have trusted in the gospel, that you could have been spiritually maturing and being used for the work of the ministry. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, when we talk about being awake, awaking out of sleep, Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So we said that when you think about this world as a saved person, I posited the fact that that sin will put you to sleep. And what I meant by that is there's light and righteousness and walking in the Spirit and having that knowledge of God. But hey, if you live like the world and you just completely discard the things of God and the light that God gives us, then you're just putting yourself to sleep by living in sin. So sin will put you to sleep spiritually speaking. And those who are still under sin, or let me put it, those who are still under the bonds of sin are asleep. Those people who have not been spiritually awakened, those people who have not trusted the gospel, who have had light. Those people are still asleep. They're not cognizant of the light. They're not cognizant of the truth of God. They don't understand it. They don't know it. But we, however, have the light, and we're dead to sin, right? We get that. We are dead to sin. But can sin still have an impact on our lives? Yes, it can. So should we walk any longer therein? No, we should not. If you are just slumbering through life by walking in the ways of the world, you need to wake up. You need to wake up from that darkness. God has made the light to shine in our hearts. So how dare we go to sleep in the brightness of the midday? When you look at the revelation that God has given to us, how much more light do we need? We have the brightness of the midday shining in our hearts. God has given us the full revelation of His Word, and we have these things. We should know them and understand them. And when we're doing it, how should we go to sleep by going back and submitting ourselves to sin? So, you've been given spiritual life. Now let's wake up and live unto God and not unto ourselves. So when we're talking about sleep, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I want you to see something here. We'll reference the book of Thessalonians a couple of times. In chapter 5, he says, beginning in verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Let us watch and be sober. Do you get anything when you're asleep? Do you get anything done? What do you get done when you're asleep? But are you able to accomplish anything? Is there any benefit to it? Let's reword the question. What I get three strikes, right, Tom? All right, so that's strike number one. Is there any spiritual gain by sleeping? When your mind is shut down and you're not learning the things of God, you're not able to do anything, right? So what do you awake from sleep to do? Do you then just awake from sleep to sit around? Do you just get up and say, well, that was good, now I'll just rest here on this recliner all day? It's very appealing, isn't it? But don't go there. My point is that you don't awake out of sleep to sit around. No, Paul is exhorting them, and he's telling them to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, stop fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, and let the Spirit live out through our lives. Awake out of sleep. You have a mission. You have something to do. We have Christians who are spiritually asleep. They're not performing their duties. They've either left their post or they never showed up at their post to begin with because they woke up and went to the recliner. So it's like when you get saved, God's Word has some marching orders for you. But people aren't showing up for duty because they're back in the barracks and they're still sleeping. They're not putting on the armor and going out into battle like verse 12 instructs us to do. Go back to Romans 13 and look at verse 12. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." There's people that aren't even putting on the armor. They're not even preparing themselves for battle because they're asleep, spiritually speaking. Not lost, spiritually speaking. But in their lives, they're not letting the light work out through them. So, going to sleep for a saved person is living like the unsaved world out there. You're living like them. Where do people sleep? In the dark, right? And so we're going to see in verse 12 That darkness equates to what? Look at verse 12 again. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is it that you're supposed to cast off in that darkness? Darkness equates to wickedness, right? Because who's the ruler of this world? Who's the ruler of the power of darkness? So again, this sleep here is referring to just living like the world in the darkness of your mind, stumbling around in sin. Stumbling around like a drunk man. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't know the way of the way of the world, the darkness, the wickedness. They don't even know what they stumble at. But for a saved man, you've trusted the gospel. Now why are you still stumbling around in that? Why are you even subjecting your flesh to it? Put off the flesh and put on the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the ways of God." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The way of the wicked is as darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You want to be ashamed? Here's two things that you can do to be ashamed. You can spurn the knowledge of God and keep sinning. That's not recognizing what God is doing in you, right? You're spurning that knowledge. And two, you can fail to rightly divide the Scripture between Israel and the body of Christ. Then you're not recognizing what God is doing in the world. So you want to be ashamed? Don't recognize what God is doing in you, and don't recognize what God is doing in the world. You're not walking in that knowledge. All right. So if a believer is asleep, is he conscious to all that God is doing? If you're asleep, if Paul's telling you to wake up, that's implying that you're asleep. And if you're asleep, you're not aware of what God is doing, correct? So the contrast between being asleep and awake is the difference between being in darkness and being in light. Having the knowledge of God, not having the knowledge of God. What do you see when you're asleep? Close your eyes for me right now. Just close your eyes. What do you see? Darkness. You see nothing. What do you see when you're asleep? You see darkness. Now, when you wake up, what's the first thing you see when you open your eyes? You see light, and the light comes in, right? So the Bible says we're to walk as children of light, conducting ourselves as one that reflects the light, and not walking as children of darkness. That's sleeping. Satan in the world system promotes his policy and his program, and what does Satan want you to do? He wants you to go to sleep, right? He doesn't want you acting the way that God has made you or in the knowledge of God. They don't want you functioning in their midst properly. So when you're seeking to share the love of God with people as you walk in the Spirit, as Christ has created us, then that is in conflict with Satan's lie program, and the enemy will oppose you in those things. So Satan's program in this world wants to neutralize you by putting you to sleep, by making you just like it. You can be conformed to the image of God, or you can be conformed to the image of this world. And that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to be neutralized. Why use the word sleep? Well, when you think about the word sleep and you think about yourself sleeping, you're not cognizant to what Christ has made you. You're created as a new man. You have spiritual blessings and benefits, and you wake up to that and you walk in what God has made you. Don't go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the flesh. I'm stealing those words, yes, from another way, but it applies to the flesh. How much weaker is the law to the love of God in grace? How much more weaker is the flesh to the spiritual blessings that we've been given in the spiritual life that we now have? So why go back and revel in it or even expose yourself to it? There's no benefit to it. So that's why Paul tells us to awake to righteousness. Wake up to who you are. Wake up to what's going on around you and what the enemy is doing. And by the way, I believe that you'll be greatly benefited by studying the scriptures rightly divided in order to see those things. Then when you know what's going on around you, aren't you better equipped? What soldier goes into a battle, if they've got a mission, do they not sit down beforehand and understand the layout of the compound that they're going into, and they have a plan, and they say, this is where the enemy is, we've scouted out the enemy, and this is what we're going to do, and this is our plan? Well, rightly dividing the scripture, you know exactly what God has done with Israel, you know what he's doing with you, and you know what he's going to do in the future. So awake up to these things. Walk in that knowledge. Walk in the light. Not only the light of life that God has given you, but the light of truth, which he shared with you. Verse 11 says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Sorry, Romans 13, verse 11, not in 1 Corinthians. Romans 13, 11 says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." So my question is, does this mean we are not saved until some future point? I tried to think about how other people see verses and words in the text and how they could use it or understand it. So when Paul says that for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, does that mean that if you think about a timeline, here's past and there's the future, and you think you're right here, is our salvation nearer, meaning that we don't get salvation until we get to that point? Is that what he's saying? That's not what he's saying. The moment we believe the gospel, we are saved and we are reconciled unto Christ. So what does Paul mean when he says that our salvation is nearer? It's what I see going on here with what we've just studied and talking about awaking out of the darkness. He's saying it's in reference to being saved from this time. It's not a salvation of our soul, but rather a salvation from these present evil days, right? Because when you look at salvation in the Bible, it doesn't always mean your soul. It means being saved, salvation from physical peril. So to be able to be completely submersed in justice and righteousness in heavenly places, isn't that going to be wonderful when we're saved from these present evil days and there's no longer any evil but justice reigns? How many times do you watch the news and you see the injustice of this world and this society and you just cry out for justice? Justice, Lord. Well, it's coming. You'll be saved from these present evil days. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How are we going to be saved from it? What time are we looking for? We're going to be, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What time is it that we're looking for? Well, we find that in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, look at verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Aren't you glad for hope? Where would we be without hope? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now that is a salvation. We're being saved out of something, right? We're saved from the wrath to come. So, we're looking for a time where we're called up to meet our Savior in the air. Not a second coming of Christ to the earth when he sets up his kingdom for Israel. So don't confuse your salvation with Israel's salvation. Don't confuse your hope with Israel's hope. And we're closer to his coming. And if that does not come first, then we'll depart these earthly shells and meet him in the air, right? One of the things are going to happen. Either he's going to come before we die, and we're closer to that time point, or we're going to die, and he'll come back, and we'll leave these earthly shells. Either way, we're closer to that than we are yesterday. All right, let's look at, go back to Romans 13 with me. Verse number 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I said earlier, he's telling us to cast off the works of darkness. Does that mean you could be out there in that darkness as a saved believer? You're just out there, sin has put you to sleep. There's the works of darkness that are just going on in your flesh. You're living out there in the fleshly world. He's saying, cast that off. He's saying, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day is that? Well, if you look, first of all, when you think about day, the rulers of darkness rule the night. The King of righteousness rules the day. What day is that? What is the day? The day of the Lord. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, where we were, he says he doesn't need to write about it because they know perfectly about the day of the Lord coming. The time of the reign of the rulers of the darkness of this world is coming to an end. And the time of sin is close to an end. The reign of righteousness is at hand. Maybe this is a bit off topic, but just to break it up, maybe I'll share it with you. You know, there's sometimes when I watch a movie, and you can't help but see how movies base their plot lines on, you know, how God has made the world. And that there's this battle between good and evil. And we always love it when good wins. Very rare does Hollywood ever make it to where evil wins, because people just walk away with a bitter taste in their mouth and they don't like it, right? But there's a sense of when the battle comes, and they'll paint the picture. I think of the battle of the Lord of the Rings, right? And you have these good guys that are standing in the castle, and they're outnumbered by tens of thousands, and they're standing there on the walls, and they're just encompassed by evil all about them. And this night there's going to be a battle, and many people are going to die. And it's the battle between good and evil. And you just sit there and you look at it, and I can't help but I get a little overwhelmed thinking about how that works in our society today, right? So few people are in the keep, and we're on the walls, and we're encompassed round about with evil, and the power of evil is so overwhelming. And you think that, how are we going to overcome it? Well, you know, we don't overcome it in ourselves. It's what God does what Christ is going to do and how he's going to overcome the powers of the evil of this world. But I think about that time coming when righteousness is restored and those powers of darkness are destroyed and they're done away with. And then Christ is going to be set up and righteousness will reign and we'll be in heavenly places and everything will be right just as God desired it to be. So here he is saying the night, the time of our ignorance has gone on too long. Too long. You've just been there in ignorance, willowing in the darkness. And he says, let us now walk with the light that we have through the Word of God revealed to us. Let us walk with that. We don't have to stumble in darkness according to the ruler of darkness. You don't have to be that way. We can now walk in light. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Says, verse number 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If he can command the light to shine out of darkness when there was nothing in his creative power in Genesis chapter 1, he can also make his glory shine as light in our hearts. If he's able to have that creative power, there's nothing that stops him from doing it in us. Our God is able to do that. He says, back in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, he says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Since that day is at hand, how should we then live? There's the Christian philosopher, Francis Schaeffer, who had a series that said, how shall we then live? And what a thought. How should we live? Well, that's what Paul is dealing with here. How shall we then live? Cast off the works of darkness. Let the light shine in our hearts. Let the light shine out from us. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Paul tells us that we should cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, wicked people want to do things in the darkness and have it hidden, right? Wicked people hate the light. They hate their deeds being exposed. Hey, I hate for my sin to be exposed too. The difference between us and the wicked is that we know that we're wicked. We hate it, and we don't like it. The wicked, they revel in their wickedness, and they like it when others join them. They're proud. They boast. Luke chapter number 12. One day, God's light is going to shine, and it's going to reveal a few things. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware, ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You know, the wickedness, they're not going to be able to hide forever. God's got light. His truth shines upon it, and boy, it just makes it manifest. It makes it known. And they think somehow that by doing it in darkness, they're going to get away with it. Well, that just shows their stupidity. The fool who has said it in his heart that there is no God, and he thinks somehow that the darkness is going to cover it. But let me ask you this. Doesn't that prove that they know that God exists? Romans 1 tells you that. But doesn't that prove it? Why would they be ashamed of their actions and want to do it in darkness if they didn't know that there was a God who they're accountable to and they don't want it manifest? They know. They know. They just don't want to humble themselves and submit to the God of creation. They don't want to submit to their Creator. They'd rather serve themselves. But hey, if I do it in darkness, maybe they won't see. Well, what is darkness? What is darkness? Physically, darkness is nothing. It's emptiness. It's the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. Darkness is nothingness, meaningless. Darkness is vanity, nothingness. Spiritually, darkness is wickedness. Job tells us, chapter 30, verse 26, that darkness is wickedness. The saying goes, nothing, have you heard the saying that nothing good happens at night? Have you heard that saying? Nothing good happens at night. Satan, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Satan propagates that spiritual darkness and wickedness in this world. He propagates it, he spreads it, he advocates for it, he adds it on. He propagates the spiritual darkness and wickedness of this world. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The works of darkness is what the world is currently working. And that's consistent with their master. That's the works of darkness, is what this world is doing. There couldn't be a more stark contrast between darkness and light, whether it be physically speaking or spiritually speaking. So what are those works of darkness? Go back one chapter to Ephesians chapter 5. Some works of darkness. Look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Hey, if you want to know what the works of darkness are, you don't have to worry. You don't have to, it's not something mystical. God's word will tell you what it is. But you are to walk as children of light, and in so doing, you are to wake up to these things. Become spiritually mature. Understand his word, so that way you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and by knowing God's word and knowing what they are, you'll be able to reprove them. And then you'll wake up, walk in the light, reprove the darkness, get rid of it, put off the works of darkness, and walk in the light. I'm thankful for God's word that has given us light, and for his Son who's given us light and life in us, and that he's done that for us. So thankful for that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, which we were able to study this morning. We're thankful for the power of your word and the truth, which is light, Lord. And we're thankful that when we let truth stand, Lord, that the darkness flees, Lord. We're thankful for the edification that your word brings to our soul. And most of all, we're thankful for salvation through your Son. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.